And great to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. We're going to be looking at the book of Mark once again. So you can turn over there to the first chapter. I goofed a little bit. The text we're going to be covering is clear up through verse 39, but not verse 29, as the top of the page says. But we will be passing through this whole section. I don't know if I remember telling you or not, but there was a mother who had a first grader and headed off to school, and the mother gave directions. Now, as soon as the last bell rings, you come straight home. Don't dilly-dally around. You need to come straight home. How many of you mothers have told your children something like that? Yes. They didn't live too far from the school, so the mother was waiting for the child to come home. And he eventually got home the first day. Second day, took him a little bit longer. Not too much. She didn't say anything. And the pattern just kept changing day after day. And one day he didn't get home till 20 minutes later. And so she took him aside and said, "Son, what is taking you so long to get home from school? I've told you to come straight home after school." And he said, "Well, it depends on the cars." She said, "What do cars have to do with it? You have two legs to walk. Just come straight home." They said, what do cars have to do about this? And he said, "Well, you see, there's this young patrol boy, and he won't let us cross the street until he sees cars coming down the street. And as soon as the cars come down the street, he goes and stops them. Then he lets us go across." So every day it was different. The patrol officer wanted to exercise his authority. Well, Daniel chapter 3 records the story of King Nebuchadnezzar commanding, "Everybody bow down and worship. When you hear the music play, bow down and worship the idol I've made of myself." The sound of the trumpets and the lyres and all the music let loose. But there were three of his officers, three of his leading administrators did not bow down. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow down. Infuriated, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered that they be thrown bound into the fiery furnace. You remember the story? They were set free in the furnace. No bounds, and a fourth man appearing like God. King Nebuchadnezzar found out he was not the final authority. Most of us understand that in the home, in the workplace, society, it's usually not too smart to defy the authority, right? Especially in the household, right? I didn't always catch on to that lesson. I had to have the Board of Education applied a few times, kind of on a consistent basis, before I finally caught on. But, you know, there's usually a price to pay when we rebel against our parents, against our bosses, against law officers, against commanding officers, whoever has authority over us, whomever we have subjected ourselves to be our leader. But how much greater will be the punishment for those who deny, those who neglect, those who openly rebel against the one who has all authority, Jesus Christ? And that's scary. We are here to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus, the one with all authority, loves everybody enough. He died for their sin. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. He wants us to come to God. He wants us to have life. How much? You're already asleep. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. He wants us to have that. He holds our lives in the palm of his hands. He holds our future eternity in His control. So as we look at Scripture today, I would encourage you to consider fully, completely, truly, are you submitting to the voice of authority in all things? It's good for me. I have to examine my life, and I encourage you to do the same, to make sure that you are following the directions of Jesus Christ in all things. Our text today, picking up at verse 21 of Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read down through verse 32 and then skip down to verse 39. Starting verse 21, talking about Jesus and His disciples. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, He, speaking about Jesus, entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do you have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." Throwing him into the convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. On your own time, read the next few verses. Skip down to verse 39. And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Jesus came to town. He's been empowered by God. He has come for the purpose of spreading the good news that there is salvation available to all who would listen. So as we enter into this passage, let's ask God's guidance to speak to us in the whatever area we need to learn to submit to the voice of authority. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for redemption, for salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the record of the Scriptures, that we can read and study and see the hand of our Savior, our Messiah, working in the lives of everyday people. We thank you that it was a hand of compassion and love, of mercy, of power. So, Father, help us to learn to submit to your will in whatever areas we are weak in. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the freedom to gather today. Lead us, guide us, let your Spirit speak to our hearts. Challenge us to mature, to grow in your will. And I pray that each and every one of us will obey you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ looks like a regular guy. After all, he was a carpenter for 30 years, right? Here he comes, shows up in town. In this first section, the first thought I want to deal with is Jesus has authority over all of the physical realms. Jesus has authority over all the physical realms. We see that he comes into the house after going to church, is what we would say, after going to the synagogue to worship God. He comes into the house, and the first thing that he addresses is the needs of the mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law. She's down sick as a dog, is what I would use the phrase as. She is sick. She's got a high fever. She can't move. Now, how many of you women had company come to your house and you can't get up? You'd feel pretty rotten, wouldn't you? Most of you. I think all of you. I'll give you that. And she can't even get up. She is so weak. How many of you have had a fever that you just can't move? I had one of those just recently, a month ago. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Don't everybody get up and run. We see that she is just lying there. And Jesus comes up with compassion, takes her hand and raises her up, and immediately the fever is gone. And she has full strength to do what? To start serving everybody in the house. Now, this is something that the writer Mark misses. It's nothing bad against him. But if we read this same story over in the book of Luke, Luke was a medical doctor. And he includes the word, she had a high fever. She was burning up. And at the touch of Jesus, it was immediately gone. And she was able to function fully and completely at the very touch of Jesus Christ, the healing touch of Jesus. Jesus had power over not just fever, but over diseases. Verse 40 and following, which we did not read, that's coming up in the next sermon, we see that there is a leper who comes and seeks out Jesus. Leprosy was the, oh no, disease of the day. You had to declare yourself unclean and you could have no interaction with the people around you. You had to leave town and be out in the boonies by yourself, away from society. And this leper seeks out Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He touches the leper and the leprosy immediately is taken away. Now, Jesus gave some directions to that leper. I'd encourage you to go and read, see what happened. But Jesus had power over all diseases. We have touched on reading a couple of those verses. Verse 32 talks about everybody who was sick in the area of Capernaum was brought to the house of Peter. For what purpose? So Jesus could heal them. Jesus had the power of God. He was God. And he was administering his power to the people in need. In another story you're familiar with, Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding celebration. And it's in the book of John, and it's recorded as the very first public miracle that Jesus performed. Here we have, in John chapter 2, the creator of the universe, the master who created it all, made all things miraculously and instantaneously, converting H2O into a very complex chemical structure. I was going to try to look for the chemical structure and put it up on the board for you. I didn't get it done. I would encourage you on the internet, compare the complexity of pure water to the structure of grape juice. Look it up. It's unfathomable, but not to the creator of everything. He converted a simple element that we drink, splash in, pour on our cars, and do all kinds of stuff with, into the best wine that the host had ever tasted. Now, for those who are wondering, what kind of wine was that? In my understanding of the Hebrew culture, the best wine was fresh squeezed grape juice. Fresh squeezed grape juice, and sweet and good. A lot of people think of wine, oh, that must have been aged about 50 or 75 years. Some people think that's the best wine, but in the Hebrew culture, it was the fresh, squeezed, sweet grape juice. But it was referred to as wine because it was in the grape juice form. Moving along. If you remember also through your reading of the scriptures, Jesus walked on water. No problem. Even pulled Peter out of the liquid drink. Jesus filled fishing nets to overflowing with no problem. Jesus fed hungry crowds, 4,000, 5,000, no problem at all. He calmed the raging sea with three words, peace, be still, and so much more. As he loved people in their time of need, he provided for people in their time of need. What was the primary goal of Jesus? What was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world? It was not to perform miracles, but to seek and to save those who were lost in sin. He used the miracles to reach the goal of providing for the spiritual needs of the people. It was a sidelight of the Creator. Saving people from sin was his major purpose and goal. And he used that power over nature to accomplish the goal of helping us realize he has the power not just to heal me on the outside, but to heal the broken heart corrupted by sin. Jesus overcame death as his greatest display of power, his greatest display of authority. Jesus had no sin of his own, Scripture tells us. Even in the challenges at his trials, no one could bring up anything that he had done wrong, literally. He lived a holy life, a perfect life, a dedicated righteous life, obeying all of the Mosaic law. But he took on himself whose sin? Our sin. And paid for not just our sin, but the sin of every human being. From the people that we consider the nice people to those who are the most corrupt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washes us white as snow. Do we allow him to fully, completely transform us? He is capable. He paid the price. Jesus has the victory over death, and he wants to share that victory with you and with me. Jesus continues to have all authority over every physical realm today, always. He helps those who believe in him, but has warned us that we need to get ready because this world is going to pass away. It's going to die. It's going to be taken away. And he, the Creator, is going to give us new home in the new heavens, in the new earth. Amen? Let's be ready for it. Let's be converted, wholly committed to his authority. Jesus has total reign over the physical world, the realms, over the spiritual realms. Jesus is the authority over all the spiritual realms. He was the Son of God in human flesh, living perfectly in divine grace, in truth. His ministry displayed his spiritual authority. The teachings of Jesus is what we see addressed in this section that we read. And the people were astonished, those who heard him. Jesus was the best teacher anybody had ever heard. Amen? Don't you like a good teacher? Somebody who gets your attention, grabs your attention? Jesus grabbed their attention to the point where they left their work, they left their responsibilities, sometimes for days. They didn't care. They wanted to listen to Jesus. Now there were multitudes out there bringing the sick, the afflicted, the demon-possessed. They wanted the healings as well. But most of the crowd was hanging around because they wanted to hear the message of Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God who put on flesh to live among us. Jesus lived by His own righteous nature. Jesus is the Word of God who grew feet, arms, legs, a head, and lived here in this world just like the rest of us people, displaying holiness in all of His life. Jesus amazed the crowd at Capernaum with His teaching as well as His disciples. Man, we never heard that before. What else does He have to say? Let's listen. Though He was trained in the little village, Podunk Village, up over in the hilltop, a town called Nazareth where nobody comes from that's important, and He was raised to be a what? A carpenter. What can a carpenter teach us about the Word of God? Everything. Because He was the Word of God. Every word from His mouth was about the way, the truth, and the life that led to the Father. Jesus went to, we're told, all the little synagogues that He could throughout Galilee, preaching the gospel, the good news that there is salvation available to everyone who would believe in the source of life. Jesus faced every question. He faced every challenge. He faced every threat with confidence, serving God, walking in truth, sharing the truth, sharing hope, sharing life. Jesus was never stumped because He was the Word of God in human flesh. Jesus ruled over the demonic spirits. We've seen three references here in our text. For some reason, there seemed to be an overflowing power of evil, especially demonic power, in the first century as Jesus walked the earth. I can't explain it. My own understanding is Satan knew that the Messiah was coming, and he was doing all he could to overpower, to stop the message of God, the promise of God, that the world could be saved through a coming Messiah. These spirits, these demonic spirits, plagued the lives of so many people. We read about it. This one particular individual in verses 23 through 27, he was even worshiping in the synagogue with all believers. He was in the crowd. He was mixed in. Didn't bother him hearing the Old Testament prophecies. But when Jesus came into the room, he immediately knew he was in the presence of who? The Son of God. He knew the power that was present. The promised Emmanuel drove out the powers of evil, corruption, and darkness with one command. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, which included fighting the very real forces of Satan. Evil is real. Our world seems to think it's something to play with. How many of your TV shows deal with evil, with sin, with demons, with witches? What does God tell us? Don't have anything to do with any of that stuff. Avoid it. Walk away. You are servants of God, not Satan. Don't dabble with it. Note in our text that the evil spirit recognized the authority of Jesus immediately. This pattern is repeated throughout the Gospels, throughout the letters written for us to read and understand. God's purity will not tolerate any corruption of sin, and especially not the servants of Satan. And those evil spirits immediately submitted to the commands, the instructions of the Son of God. verse 34 and 39 record Jesus evicting the demons which Satan had sent to infest the region with evil, with despair, with destruction, with corruption. Jesus brought purity. Jesus brought life. Jesus brought peace for those people. Jesus came to give abundant life to whoever would want it, for every person who wants life. He is the only Savior capable of giving eternal life. We talked about this in Sunday school. There's a lot of Saviors floating around us. We have people in power who think they're our Savior. They're not. It's Jesus. Remember who your Master is. There are a lot of false prophets, a lot of false teachers. They will amaze you. Their teaching will suck you in. You think, man, I've never heard anything so good as this. But if they're not teaching everything about Jesus, if they're not giving Jesus the credit, they are false teachers, false prophets. Watch out. We must not allow sin to rule us, but we must willfully make Christ full master of our entire lives. Our choices, our daily living, our workplace must be first for the glory of who? Glory of God. Glory of Jesus. Obey all of His commands. Follow His directions. Follow the examples of those who walked with Jesus. We must reject all forms of sin. The demonic world is real, and we are not to dabble in it. If you're reading horoscopes, stop. Put your trust in who? In God. We are committed to serve God. The Scripture tells us to arm ourselves with the Word of God so that we can fight against all the schemes, all the deceptions of Satan. Take time to put on the full armor of God to face the battle, the spiritual battle that is real. Ephesians 5. Jesus has authority over all the spiritual realms, and He will cast all of His enemies into hell, into the great judgment. Don't get trapped by Satan and his deception. Are you ready? Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, are you ready to go to heaven, or will you be cast into hell? Third point, final, Jesus is the authority over the entire universe. The entire universe submits to the will of Jesus Christ. Supposedly smart people have told us, ingrained in us, beat us over the head with the idea that all of this universe came about because of the loony theory of evolution. I'd like to degrade it some more, but let's move along. It is a false teaching. It is an escape from the truth that there was a creator. There is a creator. There always will be our creator. He came and He displayed His power. There were eyewitnesses who saw Him perform power over the universe. But no fairy tale of a frog to a franchiser or a frog to a prince can hold a glimmer of truth to the reality that God's Son lived on the earth. The miracles performed by Jesus and witnessed by the crowds were testimony that Jesus ruled over all things, including the universe. We have looked at only a portion of those today. Take time to read your scriptures, to consider all of the power and the interactions of systems that had to take place for each miracle to become reality. I mentioned earlier, turning water to wine. How many of you can do that with just a word? That is a very complex transformation that takes place in a grapevine and through eventually fermentation, which came from where? Well, they're trying to tell us now that it came from another planet, someplace out there in the universe. Some alien came in a UFO and started doing things on the Earth. Well, okay, here's a question. Where did the guy in the UFO come from? They don't want to answer that one. The scripture tells us where everything came from. And God said, "Let there be." And it took place. And Jesus came and walked the earth. And Jesus said, "Let it be." And what happened? It happened exactly the way he said. How many of you can go up to somebody that is blind and restore to perfect vision somebody who was blind from birth? What all had to take place there? The creation of nerves, of all the cellular structure. I started going blind, if you want to use that term, in sixth grade. I can't see the blackboard. Must need glasses. But Jesus restored even those who were blind from birth to perfect eyesight instantly, at a touch, at a word. What does it take to restore muscle, sinew, whole bodies, restore leprosy to nothing, to perfect flesh? I can't grow hair. As a matter of fact, I cut mine off. I can't grow skin. I can't do all that. It happens by the design of my Creator. And it does it His way. Amen? Doctors are trying to figure out how to make us healthier, better, stronger. Have they accomplished to do that yet? Well, they're getting there. But they're sure not perfect yet. God does it every day. Hey, I think I'll have a baby born in this family. I think I'll grow up that child and he'll become a teacher or a worker in the work field. Maybe even a president. We all come from where? The Creator. Give Him the credit. Give Him the glory. Creator God walked this earth. We have the testimony of His disciples. The miracles performed by Jesus and witnessed by those individuals written down so that we can read about them. Jesus is the Creator God who came with His creation to redeem His lost children. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 tells us God spoke all things into existence. John chapter 1 talks about the Word of God who put on flesh as Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 tells us Jesus is the heir and the maker of all the world. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 and 17 tells us that Jesus created everything seen and unseen, and He is able. He has the power that holds everything together. Jesus is holding you together. He's holding your chair together. Thank you, Lord. He's holding this building up. Oh, no, that's glue and wood. No, He is holding all things together. And when He says enough, it will all be gone. After His resurrection, Jesus could disguise, camouflage Himself so that those people who knew Him, had walked with Him, had seen Him, had heard Him, didn't even recognize Him. The two guys on the road to Emmaus, They walked with him all day, talked with him, and they did not recognize him until they sat down for supper and Jesus prayed and their eyes were opened. And what happened to Jesus? He disappeared. He disappeared. He could appear and disappear whenever he wanted. He could float into the sky. His glorified body will never suffer the pain of sin and suffering again. Jesus appeared to men after his ascension into heaven to instruct us, to reassure us, to reprimand us, to teach us. Stephen, who was a deacon in the early church, testified just before he died from being stoned to death, "Behold, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And it wasn't just Stephen. Paul's conversion came from a marvelous revealing of the Messiah to him, knocking off the horse, blinding his eyes so that he would spiritually see the truth. John wrote Christ's book of Revelation to encourage us, to uplift us, to teach us that God is still in what? Control. Don't worry, the world may be falling apart, but God is taking care of you and all who would believe in him. The testimonies of converts today are coming in. Especially, it seems to be from the Muslim world, where Islam is the only thing that is allowed to be taught. There are converts coming to Christ who are saying, "I saw a vision of Jesus inviting me to come to him." Jesus will appear to whom he wants to appear. And it's evident. Is Jesus alive today? He is still alive. And he's coming back. And he wants everybody who is ready to listen to him to obey him. When? Now. Jesus prophesied that this world is going to end when he comes back with all of his strength, with all of his might, with all of his angels. The apostles repeated the warning. And Jesus expanded the prophecy with his message of revelation to John and to us. Jesus is the authority over all the universe, over all physical realms, over all spiritual realms. And who are we to heed? Jesus. Jesus repeatedly claimed the power over all things. The Bible tells us he is the ruler. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is the judge of our souls. If he does not find you to be his disciple, hell is your only eternal option. Walk with who? Walk with who? Walk with who? Let's do it. Let's help each other. He is the ultimate authority. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus coming 2,000 years now. His work is still not done. There are still people who are coming to accept his lordship. And Father, if there's anybody in this room that needs to do that, we pray that they would not delay it any longer, but that they would get their lives straight with you. Through Jesus, the voice of authority. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the knowledge of him, for the privilege of serving in his name. Let us always glorify you, walking in the power that you have given to us through Christ. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for brothers and sisters of faith. Let us all glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's serve him.